I found Kevin in a private cabana, overlooking one of the meandering lagoon's many waterfalls. He was stretched out on a lounge chair, sipping lemonade from a frosted glass. He was still wearing the baseball hat, but he had traded the round spectacles for a pair of wraparound sunglasses. I sat down on a chair next to him and flagged down an anatomically perfect waitress, wearing an aquamarine bikini and white tennis shoes. She happily added another drink to Jamie Chin's tab. When she was out of earshot, I leaned toward Kevin. "Do you miss it?" I knew it was a loaded question. It had been almost 3 years since the robbery, and Kevin still got uneasy when questioned about the events of his final days as a member of the MIT card-counting team. He had never conclusively figured out who had been behind the robbery or the intrusion into his own home. He had his suspicions, but he never shared them with me. I had wondered whether the betrayal circled back to the man who had started it all, Mickey Rosa. Mickey, after all, had been spurned by the team and was running competing squads from the same launching pad. But no one on the team, least of all Kevin, would ever voice such a thought, and there was no evidence linking Mickey with the break-in. After the robbery, Kevin had officially disbanded his squad and retired from team play. He still gambled, and sometimes he still counted cards, but the double life he had led for more than 4 years was over. His shift to a more normal lifestyle hadn't been easy. Over the course of 6 months, he had changed jobs 3 times, finally joining a small startup software firm in downtown Boston. He still spent much of his time toying with numbers, but now the numbers inhabited spreadsheets instead of blackjack shoes. As for his winnings, much of the money had gone into a downtown bar he had opened with his friends. Even after 3 years, the repercussions of Kevin's double life had not entirely receded. For starters, he had recently endured a second audit by the IRS. Although he had come out clean once again, he could not shake the feeling that someone was keeping an eye on him, just in case. As for Kevin's old teammates, he had not spoken to Fisher in 3 years. He still saw Martinez on occasion, but there was tension between them, and he doubted they'd ever again consider themselves friends. To his knowledge, Martinez and Fisher's team still carried on their assault on Vegas from a home base on the West Coast, though all of the original members had long ago become dinosaurs and couldn't effectively play any of the major strip casinos anymore. Martinez and Fisher had thus recruited an entirely new crop of whiz kids. At last count, their team had as many as 16 members and had brought in close to $500,000 in the last year alone. Jill and Dylan had gotten divorced 6 months after the robbery. Though neither of them saw blackjack as the main catalyst for their breakup, they wouldn't have discounted the effects of the Vegas lifestyle either. Maybe the pressure had just brought them to boil a little early. Whatever the reason, they were no longer on speaking terms. Jill had moved to Hartford, Connecticut, where she was a high-priced corporate consultant. And Dylan had a burgeoning advertising career in the south of France. Andrew Tay was still living in Boston, spending 3 nights a week at the frat house, fleecing unsuspecting MIT undergrads at the poker table. Sometimes, late at night, on his way home to his apartment in the Back Bay, he would run into Mickey Rosa in the halls of the Infinite Corridor, perhaps heading to the classroom with the drawn shades. The latest rumor was that Mickey and Kiana were living together in Mickey's apartment, running a handful of new teams out of MIT. A sort of poetic cycle, one that had begun before Kevin and would still be spinning long after him. "Do you?" I repeated, feeling the spray of the faux waterfall. "Miss the thrill? The money? The game?" Kevin looked at me through the dark lenses. "Sometimes I think about what it would be like to start again. It's different now. You saw how quickly they reacted. You have to be a lot more careful. And a hell of a lot smarter. Most important, you've got to recruit people you can trust." "Well," I joked, smoothing out my silk shirt, "I've got the clothes, if you're asking." Kevin smiled. "First, there's this test you've got to take."